نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، وتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. فنشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى to give us the ability to be in the presence of my beloved إخوة here at Dar Sunnah, Shepherd's Bush. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these lessons that we are going to read through regarding the Mandhumatul Baykhuniyya, we ask Allah to make it of benefit for us, in that we further understand or start to understand the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is ilmu hadith, the science of hadith. And the definition of the science of hadith: علم بقوانين يعرف بها أحوال السند والمتن. علم قوانين يعرف بها أحوال السند والمتن. And that is the knowledge of principles and rules which are used to understand and know and recognize the state of a chain and the state of a text. You need the text. علم بقوانين بقوانين يعرف بها أحوال السند والمتن. And this is the definition by Ibn al-Jama'ah rahmatullah alayhi, from the ulama of hadith. So we're going to be paying attention here to the ilm al-hadith. And this is an important ilm that we, all of us as students of knowledge, is obligatory upon us to have this knowledge. And that is that when we have the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the talib al-ilm has to have the ilm of the diraya and the ilm of the riwaya. The ilm of the diraya meaning al-istidlal, to be able to use the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in establishing proofs as it relates to aqeedah, as it relates to fiqh, jurisprudence, as it relates to ibadah, so that we understand ibadah, understand how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he is supposed to be worshipped subhanahu. And the talib al-ilm, we have to also have the ilm of riwaya. And the ilm of riwaya is the mawdu'un al-yawm. Ilm al-riwaya is regarding the authenticity of that istidlal, the authenticity of it being attributed to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the riwaya. And this is the dirasa of as-sanad wal-matan. And that is the ulum al-hadith, the studying of the chains of people in the narrations from up until the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also studying the texts and checking its authenticity, so that that which is ascribed to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been ascribed to him justifiably. And the asr that the ulama of hadith use for this is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if a fasiq, a corrupt individual, comes to you with information, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, clarify. وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ أُخْرَى فَتَثَبَّتُوا, make تَثْبِيت, make sure that it is actually correct. And the Tabari, rahimullah ta'ala, in his tafsir, Imam al-Tabari, rahimullah ta'ala, in his tafsir of this verse, he said, أَمْهِلُوا Take your time, حَتَّ تَعْرِفُوا صِحَتَهُ أَمْهِلُوا حَتَّ تَعْرِفُوا صِحَتَهُ وَلَا تَعْجِلُوا فِي قُبُولِهِ Regarding this verse, the information or the naba, the khabar that he receives from you, amhilu, take your time. So that you can make sure of its authenticity, of its correct ascription to the one who said it. Wala ta'jilu, do not be hasty in accepting it. This is the asl, dalil that the ulama of hadith use for this ilm of hadith, ilm mustalah. And in the time of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were udul. The companions were udul. They were trustworthy. And then Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "Ma kana nas yasaluna an al-isnad, falamma waqa'a ma waqa'a, qalu sammu lana rijalakum." In the time of the companions, radiyallahu ta'anhum, they never used to ask about the chain. Who are your chains? Who are your men? فَلَمَّ وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ But when the fitna occurred and happened, and that's the fitna of Ahlul Bid'ah, the fitna of the Khawarij, they said, سَمُّ لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ Name your men. إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ قَبَلْنَا كَلَامَهُ أو كَمَا قَالَ He said, and if it's from the people of the Sunnah, we take what he said. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلُ الْبِدْعَةِ رَفَضْنَاهُ مَا قَبَلْنَاهُ And if it's from the people of innovation, we rejected their narration. So this is why the ulama have looked in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and extrapolated these principles in order to be from those who aid in the preservation of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ilmu al-hadith is ilmu biqawaneen يُعْرَفْ بِهَا أَحْوَالُ السَّنَدِ وَالْمَتَنِ This is the ilm hadith. And this is what we're studying today in the next, inshallah, 3 or 4 weeks, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is the most basic of matun, or ode, as they say, manzuma, poetry relating to the ilm of hadith. And the author is somebody who is not actually, there's no tarjama, there's no actual tarjama, biography written regarding the author of this mandhuma, mandhuma to Bayquniya. However, some of the shurah and those who have explained this mandhuma from the aqdam shuruh, the foremost, oldest explanations, they say his name is Umar. He said it's Umar ibn al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Futuh. Umar ibn al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Futuh al-Dimashqi al-Shafi'i. Umar ibn al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Futuh al-Dimashqi al-Shafi'i. And he's Bayquni, as he calls himself at the end of this poem. So the ulama had ikhtilaf of when he died. When did this individual die? And the reason why there was so much ikhtilaf and confusion is because, as I mentioned, there isn't a real biography that's been written regarding him. But some of them have mentioned that he died in the year 1080. In the year 1080, yani Hijri. And that's Bayquniya. And he has written this poem in 34 or so sentences and so forth, lines of poetry. And the reason why this poetry has been accepted by the ulama is because of its suhula. Suhulat al-ard wa ikhtisar. That it's easy to read and easy to memorize and present. And it's summarized. And it's summarized. Now, where did this mandhuma come from? It's befitting that we mention a few things regarding the ilmu hadith and the tadween of the ilmu hadith. The transcription and authoring of the ilm al-hadith as it relates to history. أول من صنف في علم الحديث, the first person to author generally in the science of hadith is Ar-Ramahurmuzi. 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 In his book, Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil. Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil, and he died in the year 360. Now, he authored the book in the Ilm al-Hadith, but it wasn't very comprehensive. So after him came a few other ulama like Hakim, Al-Hakim al-Naysaburi, Abu Abdullah, Sahib al-Mustadrak al-Sahihain, Hakim, Al-Hakim. He authored a book called Ma'rifatu Ulum al-Hadith, recognizing and understanding the science of Hadith. And he authored, and he, rahimahullah ta'ala, categorized the different types and categories of the science of Hadith into 52 categories. Into how many categories? 52. And who was he? Hakim. And he was more comprehensive in his authoring regarding the science of Hadith. And then after Hakim came Imam Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he again improved in the comprehensive nature of the authoring of the science of Hadith. And he authored Al-Kifaya, fi ilmi riwayah, Al-Kifaya. And this book, and other books that he's authored in different books he's authored in the ilm of Hadith, this was the first time where someone has actually dealt with the issue comprehensively. And then after him came Ibn Salah, Abu Amrin Uthman Ibn Salah. Now Ibn Salah, he gathered all the books of Khatib. Because Khatib, he authored many different books in the science of Hadith. And what Ibn Salah did, he gathered all of the books and took the benefits from the books to make one book. To make one book. All the books of Khatib al-Baghdadi, al-Mutafarriqa. Yani his books are Mutafarriqa, yani in different authors, he wasn't one book, it was different books pertaining to the science of Hadith. And Ibn Salah went into these books and then authored a book, Mustaqilla, and it's called Muqaddima Ibn Abi Salah fi Ulum al-Hadith, the introduction of Ibn Salah in the science of Hadith, to make it easy. To make it easier, because Khatib, he authored it and it's mutafarriqa. To make it easy for the talib al-ilm to have isti'ab and to comprehend the science of Hadith. Because it's important that we all learn the science of Hadith. Not, we don't say that we all have to be muhaddithun, but we have to know that which is authentically attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is not. And what constitutes an authentic Hadith, and what constitutes a Hadith that is not authentic. And he categorized the different categories of science Hadith into 65 categories. So Hakim was how many? 52. And then after him came Khatib. And after Khatib, there were others being between them, but these are the ones who had the more ta'thir, the main influence. The main influence. Now, and then after Khatib Ibn Salah, we have Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he authored Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith. And then we had Ibn Mulaqin, who authored Salamukum Allah, Tadhkira, which is this book here. This is the Tadhkira. Tadhkira Ibn Mulaqin, Fi Ilm al-Athar. And then we had Ibn Jama'ah, who authored a book. And also, after that came Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani was the one who authored a nukat ala muqaddamat Ibn Abi Salah. And this nukat is nukat, where he made very few discussions relating to some of the categories that Ibn Salah he mentioned. And Shaykh al-Ilama al-Muhaddith Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, he's got a tahqiq of this, which is printed in two volumes in his doctorah. Amazing. And it's used in Jamia Islamiyah. Everyone uses it. Even the Hizbis have to use it, because of the ilm and the knowledge that it contains, and the diqqa and the position of the tahqiq and the of Shaykh Rabi' hafizahullah ta'ala. And then people made khidma upon the work of Ibn Salah. So we mentioned there was Ibn Kathir, and there was Ibn Mulaqin, there was who else? Ibn Jama'ah, and who else? Ibn Hajar, and also Bayquni. So he, Al-Bayquni here, he based his Manzuma on that juhud of Ibn Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is why Ibn Salah, sarahatan, ulama have so much praise for him, because of his juhud and his effort as it relates to the ilm of hadith. Then we start the statement of this imam, or this alim fil hadith, in which he began and he said, "Naam, abda'u bihamdanish, abda'u bihamdi musalliyan ala Muhammadin khayr nabi ursila." He said, "I start by praising, yani praising Allah, musalliyan ala, sending salah, yani salam, ala Muhammadin khayr nabiyin ursila, Muhammad the best of the messengers that were sent, or prophets that were sent." This is the first point we're going to deal with the manzuma. He says, "Abda'u bilhamdi, abda'u bilhamdi." Some of the ulama said that before that he said, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." Some of the ulama that have explained this Madhumatul Bayquniyya, they said he actually began with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And as we know, this is from the usloob of the ulama to begin with Bismillah. To begin with Bismillah. And that is seeking the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakah in that which proceeds from authoring, reading, and so forth. So then the ulama discussed, they said, so what does he mean by abda'u bilhamd? Abda'u bilhamd. Yani abda'u bilhamd fi manzuma, fi hadhihi manzuma. Yani I'm starting the manzuma now. Abda'u. I'm starting this text now. Abda'u bilhamdi musalliyan ala Muhammadin khayr nabiyyin ursila. And then he, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, musalliyan ala. And musalliyan is hal. Logatan. Musalliyan is hal. And what's hal in English? It's adverb. Hal is an adverb in Arabic. Yeah, hal in Arabic is adverb in English. Yeah? Yani, an adverb describes a verb. Sahihullah. An adverb describes a verb. Musalliyan is describing his ibtida. Yani abda bi Muhammad. The verb abda, I start. Musalliyan, in a state where I'm saying, sending salams to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like one would say, adhab ila al-masjid mashiyan. I'm going to the mosque walking. So I'm going to the mosque in a state of walking. Point number three, he says here, musalliyan ala, this is some of the ulama, they say that it is better to say, send salams and to send salah as well. So musalliyan wa musalliman. This is what some of the ulama itarajahoon, and from them is Ibn Salah. Ibn Salah, and we mentioned him, sah? What book did he author? Muqaddima. Ibn Salah li Ulum Hadith. Na'am. Ibn Salah, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it is disliked to just send salah only. You send salah and salam. This is the statement of Ibn Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala. Point number four, Muhammadin khayr nabiyyin ursila. Sending salams to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of nabi, la nabiyyi ba'di. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no prophet after him, and this is from his virtue. Wa anzala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhi al-Qur'an, wa ma yantiqu anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. The Qur'an was revealed to him, khayru kalam, was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's why he is khayru nabi. Khayru nabiyyin ursila, the best messenger that was sent. Naam. And then he said, وَذِي مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْحَدِيثِ عِدَّةٌ وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ أَتَى وَحَدَّةٌ. He said, وَذِي مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْحَدِيثِ عِدَّةٌ. And this is the categories of hadith. How many categories? Idda. And it's going to enumerate the categories of hadith. We mentioned previously that Hakim said there were 52, sah? And then Ibn Salah, he said there were 65. So here he is saying, وَذِي مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْحَدِيثِ عِدَّةِ وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ أَتَى وَحَدَّةِ. We're going to mention the categories of the science of hadith. وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ أَتَى وَحَدَّةِ. And every single one has its definition. Every single one of these categories of the science of hadith, they have the definition. Let's move on. We're going to move smoothly, inshallah. Bismillah. أولها الصحيح وهو ما اتصل إسناده ولم يشذ أو يعل يروي عدل ضابط عن مثله معتمد في ضبطه ونقله. He began with the first قسم of the ilm of hadith, and that is as-sahih. So if you want to put a title, as-sahih, authentic, not accepted, authentic. As-sahih. Awwaluha, yani the first of those categories is as-sahih. And then he explains the meaning of sahih. He explains the meaning of sahih. What's the meaning of sahih? He says, awwaluha sahihu wa huwa ma tasil. Isnaduhu wa lam yushadha aw yu'al. Yarwi adlan dhabitun an mithlihi mu'tamidun fi dhabtihi wa naqlihi. He brings the conditions of an authentic hadith, of a sahih hadith. And there are five conditions. There are five conditions. And the first he mentions is al-ittisal. The first he mentions is al-ittisal. Yani ittisal al-isnad. Yani the chain has to be connected. There must not be a break in the chain. There must not be a break in the chain. And what does that mean? It means that, for example, if we have a riwayah from Shams, who narrated to Walid, and Walid narrated to his great-grandchildren, or three generations after. He didn't meet them, did he? Did he meet them? No. So there is inqita. There is inqita. There is a cut, as is the case of the Christians. They have an inqita. There's no ittisal between Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and the gospel, those who author the gospel. There's no ittisal. There's a break in the chain. There's a break in the chain. Which is why Ibn Hibban rahimahullah ta'ala, he said regarding ma tamayyazat bihi hadhihi al-ummah, those things that this ummah is distinguished is, and the distinct of this ummah is, awalan al-nahu, al-i'rab, the vowels, precision in the Arabic language. وَثَانِيًا النَّسَبْ, and that is our lineage. You have those from the Muslims who can tell you their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, sahih Allah? And this is from the virtues of this ummah, and that which makes this ummah distinct and distinguished from others. And the third is al-isnad. And that is that we have isnad. We have chain. Nobody can say what they want to say. We need to know. سَمُّ لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Show us your chain. And it has to be muttasil. And it has to be muttasil, yani connected, with no break. So al-ittisal, the definition of al-ittisal is as follows. تَعْرِفُ al-ittisal, yani أَنْ يَرْوِي الرَّاوِي أَنْ مَنْ فَوْقَهُ بِإِحْدَى تُلْقِ التَّحَمُّلِ الصَّحِيحَةِ. أَنْ يَرْوِي الرَّاوِي أَنْ مَنْ فَوْقَهُ بِإِحْدَى تُلْقِ التَّحَمُّلِ الصَّحِيحَةِ. And that is that al-rawi, the person who is narrating, he narrates from those who are above him, that narrated to him, with the means, the correct means, like I heard, or like he said, qala, sami'tu, or an, on the authority, with the correct turuq al-tahammul, with correct turuq al-tahammul, with the correct means of narrating. So the narrator, he narrates from those before him, using the correct means of narrating. This is the meaning of al-ittisal. And that which excludes, or that which is excluded in this condition, is al-mudallis. We'll do that later. And also al-muqati', which is broken. Mudallis is somebody who, for example, in the narration, he mentions an odd name for the narrator, or he skips somebody in the narration because he's weak, and then mentions somebody else, which we'll clarify furthermore in the mandhuma. And the second that is excluded from this is al-muqati', and that is that which is a break in the chain anywhere, whether it's in the middle, whether it's in the end, and so forth. This is muqati'. Wal-mursal, and also mursal, is ghaliban the tabi'in narrating upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they never met the messenger, so there is a break. So there is a break. Wal-mu'allaq, and that's that which is, for example, somebody writes in the book, qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's mu'allaq. The messenger said, and he didn't mention what? He didn't mention. Do we hear? Do we know the chain? No. He just said qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is considered one thing that excludes al-ittisal and the connection. But with Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, as we will deal with in future inshallah, there's a different type of issues regarding the mu'allaq. Al-muhim, the individual who narrates must narrate from the one before him, using the correct, authentic means of transmission. Yeah, that's better. And that is that the one who narrates from those who are above him or before him, using the correct means of transmission. Yeah, correct means of transmission. Turuq at-tahammul as-sahiha. Second condition. Al-adala ar-ruwa. And that is that the narrator must be trustworthy. The narrator must be trustworthy. Now the ulama had the difference of opinion as it relates to the definition of al-adala. I'm going to give you some of those definitions, and then at the end, the third definition will be the correct definition, inshallah. The first one that is mentioned is ملكة تحمل صاحبها على ملازمة التقوى والبعد عن خوار المروءة. ملكة, and that is that the individual has a personality or character or something in his persona that instills in him consistency in fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consistency in fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والبعد or والبعد and خوار المروءة, and distancing himself from unethical behavior. Maru'a, yani that which is goes against the norm. Maru'a. And some of the ulama have explained the khawal maru'a, those etiquettes that are disliked and repugnant as it relates to ethics and so forth. Is, for example, you have a guest. You have a guest in your house, istikhdam ad-duyuf. You have a guest in your house and you use your guest to do things for you. This is considered bad manners and bad etiquettes, which some of the ulama says that it would affect the trustworthiness and the uprightness of an individual. And also some of the ulama have mentioned from the affairs of khawal maru'a is using the mirror of the barber. Meaning that you go, you're in the street, and you just go to the barber just to look in the mirror. It's a stealer look. And they say that this is from those things that affect the trustworthiness and the uprightness of an individual. And from those is lying to children. Lying to children. And so forth. But the khawal maru'a is depending on your society and your culture. So if you're in a culture, for example in Somalia, there are certain etiquettes that you shouldn't do. Sir? Yes or no? And if you fall into those etiquettes, it's considered khawal maru'a in that society. And also in Pakistan, there are certain khawal maru'a ethics that one has to uphold. And if you oppose that, that's where it becomes an issue in your uprightness. The second definition is al-Muslim al-Baligh al-Aqil salim min asbab al-fisq wal-khawal maru'a. Al-Muslim al-Baligh al-Aqil salim min asbab al-fisq wal-khawal maru'a. This is the one that we have been brought up on most of the time as it relates to the science of hadith, and that is that the adil, the upright individual, has to be a Muslim, has to reach puberty. So number one, he has to be a Muslim, have reached puberty, sound intellect, I'm free from those things that affect your uprightness ethically. So what's number one? Muslim. Second? Baligh, yani reached puberty. An issue of puberty we've dealt with before in fiqh. Sahola. And the third one? Al-aqil. Not intellect, but sound intellect. And he's not majnoon. Kharaj bi hadha al-majnoon. He's not majnoon. Sound intellect. Dhu aqli. And salim min asbab al-fisq. And he's free from wrongdoing and sins. Fisq. And that's fisq al-shahwa and fisq al-shubha. And he sins pertaining to desires and sins pertaining to belief. He has to be free from those. So this is where they say that the people of Ahl al-Bid'ah, they do not fulfill this condition for Hadith al-Sahih. They don't have adala because they fall into asbab al-fisq. And that is fisq al-shubha. The fisq of desires, sins of desires, yani bid'ah. And the sins of misconception, and that is bid'ah. And the other is the sins of desires, and that is fornication. Stealing, lying, getting angry unnecessarily, oppression, haluma jar. The definition that we're going to work with is this definition. And this definition we're going to work with, I'm going to mention bi'ithnillahi ta'ala the reasons why we're going to deal with this definition and why ulama such as Ibrahim al-Nakhai and Abdullah ibn Mubarak and al-Shafi'i wa ibn Hibban wa al-Dhahabi. Who? Ibrahim al-Nakhai from Kufa and Abdullah ibn Mubarak and Imam al-Shafi'i wa ibn Hibban, Muhaddith and al-Dhahabi. They are of this opinion that this is the correct definition of a trustworthy narrator who has that condition of adala. And that is man kana al-ghalibu ala ahwalihi ta'ati lillahi wal-istiqamati wa-salamati min al-mufassiq. And that is man kana al-ghalib. And that is an individual who is predominantly, mostly, his state is upon the obedience of Allah, not all the time. Mostly his state is upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and uprightness and free mostly from sins. So do you see the difference in the definition? Shall I say it again? Yeah. Okay. And that is man kana al-ghalibu ala ahwalihi al-tha'a lillahi wal-istiqamati wa-salamati min al-mufassiq. يعني مفسق يعني أشياء الذي يجعلك فاسقا أشياء التي تجعلك فاسقا الغالب من كان الغالب على أحواله الطاعة لله والاستقامة والسلامة من المفسق. And that is that individual who's predominantly his state is that he is upon the obedience of Allah and he's upon uprightness, predominantly, mostly. And he's free from the mufassiq, yani those things that turn you into a fasiq, that make you into a sinner. This definition is the definition that is preferred by Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimullah, as well, and Ibrahim al-Nakhai. And they say, and وغيرهma, they say that this is the best because from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول في حديث القدسي كل بني آدم خطاء وكل خطائين كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. And that is the حديث القدسي وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى قال الله عز وجل that all of the children of Adam they err, they make mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who make tawbah, are those who repent. So this condition to say that he's Muslim, al-Muslimu, al-Balighu, al-Aqilu, al-Salim, min asbab al-Salim, min asbab al-Fisq, wal-Khwa al-Maru'ah. Is that possible? Mumkin? Salim min asbab al-Fisq, kullaha, khalas. So which is why this is not possible. This is a condition that is too stringent. So the ulama said that the best definition is al-Man kana al-Ghalib ala ahwalihi, al Ghalib. Mostly his state is his state of obedience. He may make an error, might make a mistake. قَدْ يُخْطِي ثِقَّةً صَحِي وَلَا نَعْم. A trustworthy narrator may make a mistake, as you'll find in the future, inshallah ta'ala. طيب. So that's the correct opinion. The third definition is the correct opinion. The next condition of a sahih hadith is al-dabt. Dabitun. Al-dabt. And that is precision. And that is precision. And al-dabt yanqasimu ila qismayni. Al-dabtu yanqasimu ila qismayni. And that is precision is categorized into two categories. الضبط الصدري والضبط الكتابي. ضبط الصدري والضبط الكتابي. And that is precision by heart. يعني to relate and narrate something off by heart. Precision in doing that from your memory. That's number one. And the second one is precision in preserving your book that you narrate from. So for example, an individual studies with one of the ulama, and he narrates from his book, and they correct it. He keeps it authentic. He keeps it correct. He keeps the grammar precise, exactly how the book is. He doesn't misplace his book and then go away. He looks after his book, holds it close to him, keeps it in a safe place, so that when he's needed to come back to the book, he's able to narrate from that book. And this is Dabt al-Kitab. Now we're going to deal with the definitions of the two. We're going to deal with the definition of the two. الضبط الصدر, and this is the definition of Hafidh ibn Hajar رحمه الله تعالى in Nuzhat al-Nadr. Hafidh ibn Hajar رحمه الله تعالى يقول أن يثبت ما سمعه بحيث يتمكن من استحضاره متى شاء. يتمكن من استحضاره متى شاء. And that is that an individual keeps firm that which he has heard. ما سمعه. That which he has heard from a narration, قَالَ فُلَانَ, he keeps it firm and preserves it, so that he is able to narrate it whenever he wills. He doesn't say, oh, okay, hold on 1 minute, let me ask him again. You ask him the hadith, whenever you need to narrate the hadith, he narrates it. Shall I repeat that? And that is أن يثبت ما سمعه بحيث يتمكن من استحضاره متى شاء. And that is that he keeps preserves that which he hears, so that he is able to relay it and bring it whenever he wants, يعني whenever he needs or whenever it is needed. This is ضبط الصدر. ضبط الكتاب. Again, قال الحافظ رحمه الله تعالى ابن حجر, again in Nuzhat al-Nadr, he says, هو صيانته لديه منذ سمع فيه وصححه إلى أن يؤدي منه. And that is صيانته. صيانته, he protects it. He protects the what? What does he protect? The book. This is where the hadith of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم that he's taken from his ulama with isnad. So he preserves it, he looks after it. Siyanatuhu. He looks after it from the time he has heard the narration, and he has obviously preserved his correction, his authenticity, up until it is needed for him to relay it from his book. So an individual, for example, that leaves his book and travels to the other side of the world, and they ask him the narration, and he's somebody who narrates from his book, he would be considered khifat al-dabt, weak in his precision, because he hasn't protected his book. Dabt al-kitab. Okay, a side point regarding this is that dabt al-sadr kathirun fi ruwa, that the majority of narrators have the precision of memory. The majority of narrators have precision of memory. وهذا النوع الأول كثير في الرواة. قال أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه ما من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد أكثر حديثا عنه مني إلا ما كان من عبد الله بن عمرو فإنه كان يكتب ولا أكتب فإنه كان يكتب ولا أكتب. He said that there isn't anyone from the companions. This is Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه. There isn't anyone from the companions that have more narrations than me, except Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Why? Because he used to write in his book, and I never used to write. So he was rare. It was rare. He was one of the few of the companions that used to have the kitab and writing. So from that, the ulama have said that the majority of narrators narrate from memory. That's another side point. Second side point to the issue of dhabt is that you have some ulama that have combined dhabt al-sadr wa dhabt al-kitabah. So I can make sure that you're with me. What is dhabt al-sadr? I'm not using English. What's dhabt al-sadr? Precision of memory. Yani, what does it mean? He's able to narrate. Naam, he preserves it and he's able to narrate it whenever he is needed. And dhabt al-kitab preserves it from the time he hears it. Mundu sami'ahu. From the time he hears it up until it's needed to relay it. Wadih? Some of the ulama were both. They had dhabt al-sadr and they had dhabt al-kitab. And from them is Imam Ahmed, rahimullah. And Ali ibn al-Madini. And also Ibn Mubarak wa Abu Zur'a al-Razi. Abu Zur'ata al-Razi, rahimullah ta'ala. Another side point. So it's Imam Ahmed, Abu Zur'a, Ibn Mubarak, and Ali al-Madini, rahimullah ta'ala. Another side point. This is side point number three. أيهما أصح ولماذا؟ أيهما أصح ولماذا؟ Which one is more أصح? Is it the correct? Which one is more likely to be more authentic, and why? Which is the one? يعني ضبط الصدر or ضبط الكتاب? Which one's more than likely going to be reliable? What do you think? Are you putting your hand up? Oh, you're just scratching your... Yeah. I've done that at school as well. Many times. Waleed. Dr. Kitab. قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْكِتَابَ. Secure your knowledge with writing. That's why you take notes. What do you think?
There's tafsir.
There's always tafsir, huh? You're right, Waleed. The ulama have said that it's aslam. Ramahurmuzi, rahimullah ta'ala, in al-muhaddith al-fasil, he says, al-awla bil-muhaddithi wal-ahwat li-kulli rawin an yarja' inda riwayati ila kitabihi li-yaslama min al-wahm. He said, and also Khatib al-Baghdadi agreed with him, Ramahurmuzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, that which is better for the muhaddith, the one that narrates, and that which is safer for every narrator, is that they return back to their book when they're narrating. This is better. Why? In order to save themselves from human error. So with that, Khatib al-Baghdadi and Ramahurmuzi, they said that, and other than them, they said that it is better. Yani, it's not a condition, but it is better narrating from the book, because in that it prevents the individual from falling into that which is known as human error. If we have time, we can go more into adopt. Okay? And I don't want to go too much into it, but adopt, we have different, I'll tell you in general, yes? Okay, regards to dhabt and precision, we have some people who are dhabt nisbi. Dhabt, dhabit, yani nisbi. He's relatively precise. Yani, meaning, if he narrates, for example, we have Jibreel, and he's close to Waleed, Alperton, right? They live in the same vicinity. They revise their narrations. So when he narrates from Waleed, he's precise. But maybe when he narrates from Abu Maryam, there's a bit of discrepancy. So he's relatively precise. So we have that. And we have relatively precise for Ahl Balad. When somebody yarwi an Shamiyin huwa dhabit. When he narrates from those people in Sham, he's precise. Walakin inda kufiyin khafif al-dhabt. He's weaker. So it's relative. So you don't just say somebody's dhabit, khalas, dhabt. No, he could be dhabt in some instance and doesn't have it in another. Doesn't have it in another. We have about 7 or 8 examples. I think it's a bit too much. But that's just a general understanding. And to my, if we have time, take down the note. If we have time at the end of the Baykuniyya, inshallah, we'll go into depth regarding the Ahwal al-Dhabt. Naam? Tafsil. The Mukhtalit and the rest of those. So it mustn't have, he must be precise. So now we said, first of all, it must be connected. Secondly, it must be what? Trustworthy, adaila. Wathalithan, has to be dhabit. Yes, he has to be had dhabt. He has to have precision. These are the first three shurut al-thubutiyya. These are the three conditions that he must have, or that must be present to make a hadith sahih. Two things that must be present. Three things that must be present, rather. Now, there are two things that mustn't be present, and that's the rest of the conditions. And that is, the first one is shudhuz. That it mustn't be shadh. That it mustn't be shadh. And the definition of shadh, many people have many definitions, but the correct definition, and we go straight to that, is the definition of Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Nuzhat al-Nadhar, where he says, مُخَالِفَةُ الْمَقْبُولُ لِمَنْ هُوَ أَوْثَقُ مِنْهُ أو مُخَالَفَةُ الْمَقْبُولُ لِمَنْ هُوَ أَوْلَى مِنْهُ مُخَالَفَةُ الْمَقْبُولُ لِمَنْ هُوَ أَوْلَى مِنْهُ. And it's a major discussion, but we're going to deal with shudhuz as we go more into the mandhuma. But for now, let's deal with it just in general sense, and that is مُخَالَفَةُ الْمَقْبُولُ, and that is opposing a maqbool. So number one, the shadh, yeah, is an individual who opposes a maqbool, who opposes somebody who's an authentic narrator, accepted. He's what? Accepted. His word is accepted. He opposes him. Sorry, he himself is maqbool. He himself is maqbool. He himself is a narration is accepted. So we're not talking about somebody who's weak. He's authentic. He's a thiqah. He's trustworthy. But he opposes man huwa awla minhu. But he opposes somebody who is stronger than him. So he is trustworthy, but he brings a hadith total opposite to the one who is stronger than him. Look how precise the sunnah is preserved. The guy's a trustworthy narrator. The rawi is thiqqatun. Walakin khalafa manhu awla wa awthaq minhu. So for example, we have a narrator opposing Imam al-Bukhari. Wa huwa awthaq minhu. Say, مثلا, Tirmidhi. You have a rawi, Tirmidhi is opposing Imam al-Bukhari. And Imam al-Bukhari is awthaq minhu. Is more of a trustworthy narrator. Ulama have praised him more than they have indeed praised Tirmidhi. But Tirmidhi is opposing Bukhari. Both of them are thiqah, but this is a discrepancy in the metan and the hadith, which is now is considered shadh. The metan, the text, is considered shadh. Yani odd. So that's the fourth thing that it mustn't have. And the fifth thing is al-illah. And that is illatun khafiyya or khafiyya القادحة في الإسناد وعلى الإسناد علة خفية القادحة على الإسناد. And that is a discrepancy, خافية, hidden discrepancy that has affected the pureness of that chain. So if it's a clear discrepancy, is that إلا? We're talking about what? Like ittirab, maqloob, mudraj. Yani these things that affect the chain of narration, and in the naked eye, the isnad is sahih. Yeah? The isnad is correct, it's good. But the ulama of hadith, they have very precise eyes. And when they look in the isnad, they say this person lived at the same time, but they didn't meet. This person, he is, he says this in this narration, but there's another narration he said something else. So there is discrepancy that is hidden. Very slight discrepancy. That's illah. So the first condition is that it must have ittisal, it must be connected. Second one is that it must be, the narrator must be trustworthy. Third one is what? In precision. And that's thubutiyah, things that have to be in the isnad. What about the things that the isnad should not have, the chain should not have? Number one is what? Shadh. And what's shadh? A narrator, a da'if narrator, sah? مخالف الضعيف لمن هو أولى منه مخالف الضعيف لمن هو للثقة هذا منكر. This is called منكر. But this is مخالف المقبول, somebody who is a ثقة, accepted. But he's opposed somebody who is أوثق منه, who is what? More precise than him or more trustworthy than him. And the final one is hidden. It's good. You know Ilal Tirmidhi, have you seen that? You heard of that? The Ilal of Tirmidhi. And that's the Ilal, discrepancies that are very minute and cannot be seen in the naked eye. These are ulama jahabida that are able to do. It's like Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam al-Bukhari, Ali ibn al-Madini. The ulama, these are the people of Ilal. This is why you have the Ilal of Imam Ahmad has an Ilal and Imam al-Bukhari has an Ilal. Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, has ilal at the end of his sunan. Ilal Tirmidhi. So these are the five conditions for an authentic hadith to be accepted. So when we see sahih al-hadith, Shaykh al-Bani has said salah sahiha. Can you imagine the work he put into that? The volumes that Imam al-Bani, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Muhaddith al-Asr, he has volumes regarding the authenticity of hadith narrations. Could you imagine the juhud that this muhaddith has put when you think about these conditions? Serious, yes or no? Okay. And then we move on now to a side issue regarding sahih hadith. Okay. And this you can put as title as the first to author a book compiling the authentic hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned the conditions of sahih. Now we're talking about the awwalu man sannafa fi sahih. Awwalu man sannafa fi sahih. Some of the ulama have said that awwalu man sannafa fi sahih huwa Imam Malik fi al-Muwatta. You know Muwatta? Muwatta. They said that some of the ulama have said that that is the first individual or hadith that has been, or compilation that's been authored for authentic hadith. And others have said, like Hafid ibn Hajar al Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him, have said that is Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari. The correct opinion, obviously, is tafsil. And that is that Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik, Imam Dar Hijra, rahimahullah ta'ala, he authored al-Muwatta, but he didn't author it where it's got all of the conditions of sahih as we know. These five conditions. Imam Malik, he authored al-Muwatta, but he didn't place all of the five conditions strictly as we mentioned. Which is why, but it was the most authentic at that time. It was the most authentic at that time. There was the compilation of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and waghairihi, rahimahullah ta'ala. But Imam Malik's Muwatta was the most authentic at that time. But after that, the first one to actually compile a compilation al-muttasila with ittisal al-sanad and the shurut al-sahih, hadith sahih, the conditions of a hadith sahih in its entirety was Sahih Bukhari, Imam Bukhari. That's the first. That is the first. And in that, the ulama differed which is more authentic, Malik, the Muwatta of Imam Malik or Bukhari. And as I've explained, that Al-Muwatta was the most authentic in its time. But after coming the coming of the compilation of Imam Bukhari in Sahih Bukhari, this is the most authentic, and then after that was the Sahih Muslim. After that is Sahih Muslim. And now, side point number two regarding Sahih. Side point number two regarding Sahih is As-Sahih Al-Asanid. As-Sahih Al-Asanid. And that is, what is the most authentic chain? What is the most authentic chain? The correct term, we'll go straight to the roots of this. The correct opinion regards to what's the most authentic chain is the opinion of Hakim. Al-Hakim, rahimahullah ta'ala, sahib al-mustadrak al-sahihain. He mentions in his Ma'rifat al-Ulum al-Hadith, we mentioned he was from the Musannafin, صح? One of the awail Musannafin fi ilm al-Hadith, from those foremost authors of ilm al-Hadith. Hakim, he says, that we do not look at the holistically most authentic narration, we look at the relative authenticity. For example, he mentioned, we look at the as-sah al-asanid of the each companion. So, methalan, the most authentic isnad chain of narration for Abdullah ibn Umar is as follows, and this is mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and that is Malik and Nafi'i and Ibn Umar, and that is Malik, Imam Malik, narrating on Nafi', who was the khadim of Abdullah ibn Umar, and Ibn Umar upon Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu. So the most authentic isnad and chain for Abdullah ibn Umar is this one. That's Malik on who? On who? Malik and Nafi' and Abdullah ibn Umar. Malik and Nafi' and Abdullah ibn Umar. So he says, Hakim, that we say, okay, specifically to do regarding the narrations of Abdullah ibn Umar, this is the most authentic chain. This is the most authentic chain. And regarding the most authentic chain of Umar ibn Khattab, the narrations of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, as is mentioned by Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, is Az-Zuhri and Salim. Oh, sorry, not that one. Malish. Naam. The most authentic isnad for Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu is Az-Zuhri and Salim and Abihi and Jaddihi. That's Zuhri and Salim and Abihi and Jaddihi. So Imam Az-Zuhri narrating from Salim, and Salim was the son of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, but Nafi was awthaq minhu, and he was a slave. Salim narrating an Abihi on his father, and his father's who? So it's really Zuhri and Salim and Abdullah ibn Umar. But in the isnad, it shows as an Abihi and Jaddihi. Who's his grandfather? Umar ibn Khattab. Shall I say that again? So Zuhri and Salim and Abihi and Jaddihi. This is the most authentic isnad. Yani Zuhri upon Salim, upon his father, and upon his grandfather. This is the most authentic isnad for Umar ibn Khattab. As for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'anhu, the most authentic isnad, as-sahih isnad, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'anhu, Ismail ibn Abi Khalid and Qais Abi Hazim anhu. So that's Ismail ibn Abi Khalid and Qais Abi and Qais Abi Hazim anhu, yani an Abi Bakr. Okay, so Ismail Ibn Abi Khalid. And Qais Ibn Hazm and Abu Bakr. That's the most authentic narration. So he says Hakim, and Hakim brings also that we look at the Ahl Medina. We look at the Medina, yani the city or the place. Asah al Asanid Ahl Medina. Asah al Asanid Ahl Mecca. Asah al Asanid al Shamiin. Yani the most authentic narrations in Medina. The most authentic narrations in Mecca, the most authentic narrations in Sham, and so forth. But we cannot say what's the most authentic one entirely. Rather, it's relative. Are you with me? So somebody says, what's the most authentic isnad? What do we say? It's relative, depending on the companion and the city. Depending on the companion and the city. Now. Okay, again, put as a ta'liq, barakallahu feekum, that once we finish al-Bayquniyya bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll deal with sahih li-ghayrihi. We deal with sahih li-ghayrihi. And that would be the end of sahih. Sahih li-ghayri, yani it's authentic, not in its essence, but by some help. Yes. Yes, I guess it's detailed. We'll go through the matan, inshallah, and then mandhuma shwaya, and then at the end, these tafasil we'll deal with, because it's at the end, inshallah. But if you can remind me, inshallah, now. That was a mistake. Nafi said, Bukhari said, Imam Bukhari, he said that the most authentic narration on Abdullah ibn Umar. Yeah, is Malik and Nafi and Abdullah ibn Umar. Imam Ahmed says the most authentic narration is Az-Zuhri and Salim and Abdullah ibn Umar. But Bukhari is the correct one.
Not Hakim.
No, Hakim is just doing Sarat. He's just mentioning it. Hakim mentions that. And we have the Asal Hadith and Aisha. We have Asal Hadith and Ibn Mas'ud. The most authentic narrations from Aisha radiallahu anha, the most authentic isnad, and also with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And Aisha is Ubaidullah ibn Amr ibn Aws, and Qasim and Aisha. But that's just tafasil. Alhamdulillah, you know that we don't mention ala itlaq. Absolutely, this is the most authentic. We say it depends on the companions, or it depends on the city. Whereas the people of Mecca, the most authentic hadith of the people of Mecca, and authentic hadith, isnad rather, the people of Medina, and so forth. Okay, we move on to the next part of the poem. Yeah, can we move on? Fi waqt? Yeah, okay. قال البيقوني رحمه الله تعالى والحسن المعروف طرقا وغدت رجاله لا كصحيح اشتهرت وكل ما عن رتبة الحسن القصر فهو ضعيف وهو أقسام الكثر. He says رحمه الله تعالى and Hassan is known by its paths and different paths. Its men are not like Sahih. They're not as well known as Sahih. وَكُلُّ مَا عَنْ رُتْرَةِ الْحُسْنِ الْقَصُرِ And everything that is lesser in its station than Hassan, this is da'if, this is weak, and this has a lot of categories. Yani the weak hadith has a lot of categories. So we can put a title now, Hassan al-Hadith. We mentioned Sahih al-Hadith, which is the highest level. And now we're going to mention that which is below it, which is Hassan. Which is what? Hassan. Hassan hadith has the same conditions as Sahih hadith. What are the conditions of Sahih hadith? Do you remember? Number one, ittisal al-sanad. Second, adala. This ittisal al-sanad and adala is the same in Hassan. The next one, this is the difference. The dabt in Hassan is khafif, have weakness, is weak. It's what? Weak, not as strong, not as strong. Absolutely. That's the definition. Is متصل سنده بعذر ضابط خفيف الضبط and خفيف الضبط.
حسن.
خفيف صحيح. Just take away خفيف. نعم. نعم. تام الضبط. If you want تأكيد. خفيف الضبط عن مثله إلى منتهاه ولا يكون شاذا ولا معللا. As some of the ulama have defined. Okay, so Hassan is, to be quite honest with you, we're going to deal with this in a few points. And the first is the definition of Hassan, the definition of Hassan al-Hadith. And that is the same definition as Sahih al-Bukhari, as Hadith al-Sahih, except it has weakness in dhabt, memorizing, in precision. Whether it's dhabt, a sadr, meaning he doesn't relay that which he heard as precisely as the authentic narrator, or his book is not accurate sometimes. His book is not accurate. So it's accepted, it's maqbool. Yeah? But it's not the same level as the sahih narrator. So it's khafif al-dhabt. And to be quite honest with you, if we look at this manzuma, I don't know if you have that manzuma in front of you. I have a couple of copies, I'll bring it inshallah next lesson. Bayquni here mentions something. He goes, وَالْحَسْنُ الْمَعْرُوفُ طُرُقًا وَغَدَتْ. This is not actually the correct definition. He says, Al-Hasan is known by its turuq, by its different chains, which means it's getting help. And that's Hasan لِغَيْرِهِ. That means it's Hasan, but not because of its essence in itself, but because of help. طُرُقًا وَغَدَتْ. So he's talking about Hasan al-Ghayri. And then he says, رِجَالَهُ لَكَ الصَّحِيحِ اشْتَهَرَتْ. These men are not like the sahih narrators, the authentic narrators, that is well known. This is Hasan lidati. Yani they're not like them in dhabt. They're not like them in precision.
So the first bit is for
Hasan al-Ghayri, which we will talk about when we finish the manzuma. But that which concerns us is the asl of Hassan, and that is that the ittisal is number one. I'll mention the conditions. Number one, it's connected. The narrators are connected. Number two, trustworthy. Number three, they have weak-ish precision. Number four, it's not shadh. And we've already explained what odd is, yes? What's odd? What's shadh? Definition. Ahsant. مخالفه المقبول لمن هو اولى منه. And that's opposed to somebody who's accepted. Yani somebody who's... المقبول, ya ikhwan, is Hassan and Sahih. These are maqbool. When the ulama of hadith, they mention maqbool, accepted narrators, these are Sahih narrators and Hassan. So if we have a narrator that is Hassan, akhi, Hassan narrator, and he opposes a narrator that is Sahih, is that correct? Is that good? Is it good? Is it ma'roof or is it shad? It's odd, yes? Because this maqbool, this Hassan narrator, he's accepted. We accept him. Sahih or la? Ah. We accept him. He's maqbool. He just has a weaker memory. He just has a weaker memory. But he's opposed somebody who's what? So the Hassan, ya barakallahu fikum, is khafif al-dhabt. That's what Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in Nusat al-Nadr, and the ulama differed in the definition, but this is the most precise definition, and that is khafif al-dhabt. Khafif al-dhabt. As for Bayquni, Imam Bayquni, where he says rahimahullah ta'ala, wal hasan al-ma'ruf turuqan wa ghadat, that the different chains of Hassan is made it into Hassan. This is for Hassan لِغَيْرِهِ. This is Hassan. This is a weak narration that is weak, but it's not so weak. But there's been about a few narrations similar to it that have joined together and made it strong. For example, you have two men who have twisted ankle. Yeah, twisted ankle. Can they move on their own? Can they move on their own? No. But then when they put hands around their shoulders, how are they moving now? They're moving better. Sahihullah. This is what he means by his first line. That's not the asl of Hassan. The asl of Hassan is رِجَالَهُ لَكَ sahih اشْتَهَرَتْ. It's the men in Hassan are not like Sahih. They don't have the same memory. They don't have the same memory. And that is Hassan. مُذِنَّةَ الْحَسَنِ. This is side issue on Hassan. The books that have been compilation of hadith dealing with hadith Hassan is Sunan Abi Dawud. A lot of the narrations in Sunan Abi Dawud are Hassan. Sunan al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. And Nasa'i, rahimahullah. But some ulama say that Nasa'i is strong, the strongest of the lot. He has stronger conditions. Darqutni. And we have one, Bazar, the Musnad of Bazar, but that's dealing mainly with Hasan al-Ghayrihi. But Aham Shay is the Sunan. The what? The Sunan. Sunan Abi Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i. These are the books, major compilations of Hasan Hadith. What do you think are the major compilations of Hadith Sahih? Bukhari, Muslim. Bukhari and Muslim. These are the main. And Malik. And Muwatta Imam Malik. Naam. Yes. He has Ilal Dar Qutni, but he also had his Musnad as well. So he has his Sunan Dar Qutni, and he also has his Ilal as well. Ilal Dar Qutni is another compilation of books. The Sunan of Dar Qutni is more. Hasan Sahih. Yeah, they intended to write books which contain Hasan Sahih, so Hasan al Hadith, so the Talib al Ilm is able to have it in one place. And this is Khidma Azima. This is an amazing service to the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. We move on? No. Their own isnad. From them to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk about Sahih Bukhari. His Imam Bukhari, sometimes only three people between him and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thulathiyat. No, they have conditions on which hadith they accept. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, for example, there's a qissa that Imam Bukhari, he traveled amazing distance for one hadith, or one narrator. He heard that this narrator lives in this place. And he saw this narrator trick his beast. He decepted his beast. So he turned back. He didn't take from him. Yeah? Do you understand the issue? And that's Khawal Maru'ah. So he saw for him a bit of trickery. So he's thinking, if you're like that, then what are you like with the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Imam Bukhari will go and take narrations from different narrators who have narrated on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and depending on their meeting these five categories, yeah, he has these five conditions, Imam Bukhari. These five conditions, very strict. Yeah, if he's going to mention an isnad in Sahih Bukhari, remember this qaida, ikhwan. If Imam al-Bukhari, he mentions a chain of narration from him to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know that he's basing it upon these five conditions. And if he mentions a narration that is not from that doesn't have that chain, it's just like a chapter heading or an opinion he may have, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's part of his book. Which is why those who say that in Sahih Bukhari that there is a weak narration is because they're not understanding that his book is muttasil. It's about narrations that are what? Connected. So when he says Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't mean he's saying it's authentic. He's saying, look, this is mentioned.
That's confused. Like, yeah. You know, Bukhari, so when I say Bukhari put it there, but it's not according to his shirt. Why wrong. Put it there?
He put it there because, for example, it's for Tabwibat, okay. For chapters. Or sometimes, like in Sunnah Abu Dawood, it's like that. Sometimes he will mention a narration, and Imam Muslim does it as well. And he mentioned a narration, the first narration will be with Isnad Mutasil, and it's an opinion in fiqh. It's an opinion in fiqh, an opinion as it relates to some issues of Salah. And then he'll mention another hadith, but he doesn't mention it with its Isnad, for example, but he's just saying, this is an opinion of others. Which is why you have to have fiqh of the manhaj of Imam Bukhari in his book. Father? So when Imam Bukhari has an isnad muttasil an fulan, an fulan, an fulan, an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know that it's based upon these five conditions. This is why it's the most authentic book after the book of Allah, the Quran. Rahimullah, Imam Bukhari. Then he says, وَكُلُّ مَا عَنْ رُتْبَةِ الْحُسْنِ الْقَصُرِ فَهُوَ ضَعِيفٌ وَهُوَ الضَّعِيفُ وَهُوَ أَقْسَامٌ كُثَر. He said, and anything that is less than Hassan, that is what? Less than Hassan, is deficient. It is da'if. It is da'if. It is weak. It is weak. And that is the third category of the acceptance and the rejection of an hadith. And that is that the science of hadith, the fundamental intent is to see which narrations are maqbula and which narrations are marduda. Which narrations are accepted and which narrations are rejected. From those that are maqbula are what? Somebody tell me. Maqbula, accepted. Two. What are they? Sahih and Hassan. Now we're dealing with another category of marduda, which is da'in. Huh? Walau aqsamun kathur. And he has a lot of examples or categories. Now, so what's the definition? Point number one, what's the definition of da'if? What's the definition of da'if? Hafiz ibn Hajar, again, rahimahullah ta'ala, yani ibn Hajar has had a lot of khidmah as it relates to the definitions of certain categories that Ibn Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and those before him mentioned in the ilm hadith. So a lot goes, inshallah, into that. Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, كل حديث لم تجتمع فيه صفة القبول. كل حديث لم تجتمع فيه صفة القبول. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, the definition of da'if, and this is in Nuzhat al-Nadhar again, he says that every narration that does not combine the characteristics of an accepted narration. What are the characteristics? Remember them? Those five shuruds. And the least leeway we're going to give is if your precision is a bit kafir. But if your precision is this, yani, terrible, you do it qalb, and you do it tirab, and you mix shawal with rajab, and this is not khafif. This is not khafif. Now, so kullu hadithin, every narration, lam tajtami fihi sifat al-qabool. Like, it doesn't combine the characteristics of an authentic or accepted, or something that's accepted, or something that is accepted. Every narration that does not combine the characteristics of something that is accepted, and something that is accepted, ya barakallahu fikum, are those five conditions that were mentioned in Sahih and Hassan. Those five conditions that were mentioned in Sahih and Hassan. Point number two. He says here, وَهُوَ أَقْسَامٌ كَثُرٌ, and it has many categories. Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says it has 49 categories. Khamsina illa qisma. Khamsina illa qisma. Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that it has 49 categories. That's da'if, weak hadith. 49 different types of weak hadith categories. Al-Iraqi in Tabsira, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the categories are 42. Are 42. And a Suyuti, he said the categories are 63. So the ulama, so this difference as it relates to Suyuti said 63. This fluctuation as it relates to the amount of categories shows you how many it is. There is no one who can say exactly, but I'm just mentioning these so you can know that is a lot of categories. A lot of categories. And this should show you the juhud of the Salaf. Show you the effort that the Salaf made in order to preserve this deen and to preserve the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So that is the barakallahu fiqh, the first six lines of the poetry, alhamdulillah, regarding al-Bayquniyah. And بإذن الله تعالى next week we deal with وما أضيف للنبي مرفوع وما لتابعين فهو مقطوع. We deal with hadith of that which is ascribed to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is مرفوع, lifted to him, connected to him صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that which to the تابعين is مقطوع, يعني cut up until the تابعين. We're going to deal with this بإذن الله with definitions and statements from the ulama of hadith. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in iman, in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because verily, studying these affairs should, you know, make us realize how this deen has been preserved. And also increase us in ihtiram and respect for the Salaf and following their way. as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them as to be those soldiers who are defending the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be grateful for this juhud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon the Salaf, and that we follow them in that regard. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.